This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Samples, who's director of the Center for Representative Government at the Cato Institute here in Washington. You may remember that earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision that reversed much of the McCain campaign finance restrictions and even some laws dating back close to a century. It infuriated the administration so much so that the president scolded the Supreme Court just days later at a State of the Union message. Now Democrats in Congress are trying to change the laws again more to their liking, and they're trying to do it through a piece of legislation known as the Disclose Act. And Mr. Samples is here to explain what exactly is contained within this bill and how it would impact political speech. And John, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
What's the hallmark of this bill? Obviously, in previous campaign finance debates, we've seen talk about when you can have a political ad, how much soft money, hard money you can spend. What's the thrust of this bill?
Well, the thrust of the bill is indicated right in the title. At least a big part of it will require extensive new disclosure by people who are spending money not on campaign contributions or giving money to the parties or candidates or anything like that, but rather just people who are taking the corporate form, groups of people, will be required to disclose who their funders are, and also, in at least as things now stand, the head of the group, be it a major corporation or a nonprofit group or a labor union, will have to go on and say a phrase that's required by law about so-called stand by the ad. They have to endorse what they said. It should be also said, though, that there's a couple of prohibitions on funding speech in the ad that are aimed basically at businesses who do business with the government, government contractors. And there's an attempt to also to extend an already existing ban on foreign nationals endorsing candidates in election years to corporations that have a relatively small number of foreign shareholders, or perhaps a CEO who is not an American national. So there are prohibitions in this, as well as disclosure of people who are just simply funding speech.
What are the current laws and rules, John, when it comes to reporting campaign contributions or those who sign your petitions to get something on a ballot? How much do you have to divulge about who's on your side?
Right now, if you're just a corporate entity funding speech, this is really, we're only working since January, so we don't know, although the Supreme Court has said that Congress can require disclosure in some measure of, and so we're just going to find out what that means. Certainly, what has happened at this point is the Disclose Act has chosen the far end of the spectrum in terms of disclosure. There's a lot of disclosure. It's a very complicated process. It's a process that requires disclosure in several different areas, including disclosure to shareholders, but also in a number of different ways. It does seem like it's a bill that's designed to increase uncertainty and make it difficult and costly to follow the law.
If in effect, how would what we see in a typical campaign season be fundamentally different?
Well, what you would see to the ads that made it to the air is that if the law passes as it now stands, you would see some part of the ad, 20 seconds or so or whatever, would be given over to whatever the message was. Then you would hear from the head of the organization or the head of the corporation saying that I'm from this ad, this corporation, I'm CEO of this corporation or of this group, and I endorse what you saw in this ad. Meanwhile, you would see the funders, people who contributed to the ad, their name would be on the screen. So you would have some of that. What you would also probably would be the case is that there's some things you wouldn't see. Some ads, particularly by corporations or groups with less political experience, probably wouldn't be able to run the gauntlet of regulation and probably wouldn't make it onto the air, or could only do so by learning how to do the whole process and not being discouraged by what fairly extensive process of disclosure. And you have to say also, if it goes through as it is now, government contractors, anyone and by that, I mean anybody that does any business at all, really, with the government, would not have any ads on the air either.
We're talking with John Samples of the Cato Institute. And, John, this whole debate, of course, came from the Citizens United decision, which we talked about just a little bit earlier. And there was a now relatively famous exchange during the oral arguments before the High Court in which the Solicitor General, Elena Kagan, who is now the president's nominee for the Supreme Court, was asked whether the government should have the right to regulate, in that case it was a movie, but also television ads, books, and anything of that sort, any sort of media. And she basically said yes. And so as a result of that, some have said that the government's effort to regulate this amounts to nothing more than censorship. Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly it's very clear in the context that Congress and members of Congress were very... they liked the old system where corporations could fund ads about issues to some degree, but what they couldn't do is endorse or call for the defeat of a candidate for office. And that was recognized to be preventing people or preventing corporations from spending money on those kinds of ads was recognized as a censorship of speech very clearly by the Supreme Court. But it was Congress that exercised the censorship for some time. And so I think there was a great worry, particularly in these with the uncertain economy and the dim prospects for the majority party in the November elections, there was a great worry that there would be a lot of new money come into the system and that it would, you know, threaten the members who are in office now. Now, the other way to look at this is, if in fact that happens, it's far from clear that it will happen, but if a lot of new money does come in and support new advertising, new political speech, voters will have different perspectives and more speech that they will listen to or be exposed to, perhaps. Whether they're exposed to it or not will not depend on Congress and what Congress decides should be prohibited or not prohibited. So it's a win for the voter. But for members of Congress, it represents a potential threat, and I think therein lies the origins of the Disclose Act.
John, fascinating to watch. We'll see what Congress does on this. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
John Samples is director of the Center for Representative Government at the Cato Institute here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.